Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you're telling me now.
Oh, fire!
wake up, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. That song is so powerful. We understand and know that the world has changed, and we must continue to understand that we are all evolving and must continue to change and do things just a little bit different to allow an opportunity for us to see things occur a little different here on this earth. And so I'm just grateful and thankful to be here amongst the living. I'm grateful that you have allowed yourself an opportunity to join us tonight as we speak about oneness is more than just love feeling. We understand and know that we got to do a little bit more than just the feeling. There are things that we have to say, things we have to do to help make a difference as it relates to love in our marriages and just in general in this world. My name is Tammy Storr. I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, and I want to be just transparent tonight and just thank you for taking time out of this busy day that I know so many of us had celebrating Memorial Day, just reminiscing, thinking about all of our loved ones, especially those that we knew and know that have served in our United States military. We just are grateful and thankful for the sacrifices they've made, grateful and thankful for all of your sacrifices and the love that you've given to your immediate and extended family members to allow you to be here, be with them, and still be a support system. So happy Memorial Day to each and every one of you that have made your way. We know so many had barbecues out and about, and so that if those that may not have made their way in tonight have the opportunity to go back and listen to it in our archives. As always, we usher in the Holy Spirit, thanking the Holy Spirit for being with us, being our mouthpiece, allowing us an opportunity to share through transparency. There's no time that we ever want to come and present without ushering the Holy Spirit. We understand where two or more gathered together, you call upon the mighty name of Jesus that he will be in the midst. So thank you for being a part of the number. Most gracious, Most Heavenly Father, thank you for these awesome women and men that have made their way to our Blog Talk Radio show tonight. I pray blessings on top of blessings for each and every one of them. Lord God, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you give us all an opportunity to be able to share tonight through transparency. Those that desire to share that will just simply press one on their phones and will be placed in the host queue. And we know, Lord God, if you place something on their heart that it is meant for them to share so that others can be blessed by it. So whatever it is that you desire for us to share tonight, I pray, Lord God, that we all receive. I pray that you allow us to apply it to our daily lives and be able to go out and be better individuals, especially as we speak about oneness is more than just love feelings. And we know this world has caused, there's so much going on in this world that's causing so much hatred to come out of so many individuals. And we just need more love to be able to spread out throughout the universe so that once we know we spread it and we send it out there, that it'll come back to us. And so I just declare and decree right now, Lord God, that you would teach us, you would show us how to be better lovers on this side of heaven, whether it be to our spouse, whether it be to our family members, whether it be to our coworkers, our friends. I pray even for our strangers that we're able to love them in the manner in which you taught us to love. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you give us all a better understanding of how we all can and do make a difference in this world. So tonight, Lord God, as we allow ourselves an opportunity to dissect your word tonight, I pray that you give us the ability to remove self and you take over. Give us an opportunity to be able to declare and decree your word and others will be able to receive it. Let us just have a normal conversation for others to be able to see how simple it is to be able to do some of the things that you instruct us to go over with our listening audience. Let us all just be able to come together and know that we can and do make a difference in everything we say, do, and touch. As always, Lord God, I ask that you be in the midst of allowing my lovely husband to be able to come forward, share this word through transparency, give him an opportunity to be able to, Lord God, to be able to share it, Father, where all of us understand it with simplicity. Thank you once again for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to be able to declare and decree your word, consider it done. And knowing, Lord God, because of your word, we're better individuals. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Let the church say amen. Praise God. Welcome once again on this Monday night, the Mega Ministry Group, Blog Talk Radio. Oneness is more than just love feelings. You know, a lot of times you hear that word feel. I feel this, I feel that. I remember a song way back in the day. It said even what the love have to do with things, what the love have to do with. Well, love has everything to do with everything in reality. But tonight we want to share just a little bit on this Memorial Day. As Tammy indicated, I mean, we've given many presentations on Memorial Day in the past. You can go back in the archives and look up at that last Monday in May and hear one of those in specific detail. We will mention, however, that in reality, to commemorate and consecrate the lives of more than 250 blacks that were in the Civil War, we know that was the initiation and the starting thereof. It was shortly thereafter embraced by others, and of course now it is a national holiday. And most of us would agree that just like love motivated the actions of those who gathered there to start that commemoration, that actions motivated by love have a far greater, far more positive impact on the heart and the mind and the soul and spirit of human beings. I mean, it's something about love. Because, see, when we are born, you know, we are exposed to an abundance of love. Every child, almost every child, because it's not true that it's every child, but most children will experience during the course of their life, even if it's for a short period of time, an unconditional love. Because see, a child has no say in whether or not they'll be here or that they are now here. And so since a child has no say in that reality, they will experience
an element of love. So think about that. Even all of us, we may not remember all of it, but at some point in time we were held and we were coddled and we were embraced and kissed and encouraged. And all of that was what we call unadulterated, unconditional love. But tell me, as I think about this, I mean, I know that if anybody is fortunate enough to be blessed to have children in that regard, that that's just part of it. But why is it so important in general for us to love in the world we live in today?
Well, Jesse, first of all, I know this topic is so important because so much has gone on around us, and we understand and know that all of the various shootings, these mass shootings that have taken place over the last several months, it's just been breathtaking, just been overwhelming. It caused us to think about, is there true love in this world, in the United States of America, or is there true love even just in the world in general? You know, sometimes we, as we look around and we see events that occur around us, we sometimes have to ask ourselves, I mean, is it and why is it important just in general to love in this world that we live in? The reason why it's so important, Jesse, to show that love is because love is, it's contagious. If you're going out and you're showing love and you're allowing yourself an opportunity to be able to show someone just unconditional love, and then that person may not be one that you've been in the presence of to know how to show that unconditional love. I can recall so many times our children, when they're with me, they're just simply amazed on how I connect with people, may not even know them, but just show them love. And the reason why I do that, Jesse, is because I think it's so important, because it is contagious, that when we show love, they typically would want to show love back. And the opposite of that, if we go and we show evilness or hatred, then that's more than likely what you're going to get back. And then if that's what you get back, then you're fueled by that, and then you're back and forth in showing ugliness. And nowadays, when you're doing that, unfortunately, it allows individuals an opportunity to pull out guns and to pull out things that we know can bring a lot of, you know, issues and challenges upon individuals. And but if we all just think about what would Jesus do in that situation as it relates to just in general to love in this world, he would want us to love. Just like 1 John 4:16, Jesse, it tells us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And if we call ourselves Christians, we got to understand that we cannot be Christians without operating in that wonderful word that we call love. And last but not least, Jesse, as it relates to love, as it relates how to love in this world, if we just apply a little bit of God's word to our daily life, see, we get so, I think, overwhelmed at times when we're in the presence other than church or in the presence other than strong, God-fearing man or women, and we find ourselves responding in a different manner than if we were in a church-like setting. But we got to get more to what it says, Jesse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 and 5. All of us know it because I got to repeat this all the time, because I got to make sure I'm flowing in love. Because it's when it talks about love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. If we apply just that scripture, Jesse, to individuals that we come in contact with on a regular basis, our lives would be so much better. And so when I think about how all of this transpires, Jesse, then my question back to you would be, why is it so difficult for so many to even say, I love you, let alone showing us? But that would be my question back to you. Why is it so difficult for so many to say, I love you?
It's difficult
because at times
we don't really know. Many of us can think about our lives. Think about the, again, that child, that baby we mentioned earlier now that is beginning to grow up. It's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Things begin to happen. Unfortunately, we live in a world today where only 25% of the children in our neighborhoods have both parents at home. And on the macro level, for all of America, it's only 50%. So there is not a sustained exposure to love. There's not a sustained exposure to care and comfort and concern. And because of that, we don't have enough role models to see, to know, and to understand. I can even remember in my own life when my mother had the courage to move from Mississippi to Detroit, Michigan at 33 years old with four children, coming in to eat breakfast some morning, and thank God the man she married, who became my adopted father, would come in sometime evening and just come in the room and say, hey, or wouldn't say nothing. And he admonished us to the point to say, come into the room and say, good morning, I love you. And because most of the time, to be quite honest, when I was growing up before, I'd get up in the morning and my mother would be gone. Wouldn't nobody be in the home. They'd be at work already. And so it's something I know I had to learn. And now I'm glad and happy that I did learn it, internalize it, became exposed to it. But it's so difficult, Tim, in many ways, because we just don't have an opportunity to be exposed to it enough. And we don't hear it enough as a society. And oftentimes when it is given, it's such a good feeling that sometimes when you could do something or say something just out of love, and that anointing will just come over you. And it's something that I know you've experienced it like many others, immeasurable. But I like to also ask you, because you have been and you are able to go and meet people with such an element of love, I like to know, what do you consider? What was the most instrumental? Who was that person, or what happened? What gave you, you know, this desire to love and to love as broadly as possible?
You know, Jesse, love is just so key for me. And when I think about who is one of the individuals that was probably most instrumental in giving me the desire to love, I must say that it was my mother. Our mother did not get much love when she was growing up in her household from her mother and father. And because she did not get much love, but she did get a lot of discipline. And then even at times when she felt she was not, really it did not warrant the kind of discipline that she got. One of the things that she vowed when she said she left that home and desired to never go back was that she would show and give her children unconditional love more than we can ever imagine. And what I can tell you, Jesse, that just like when your mother and Mr. Storr became one and you were in that same household, he had rules as well. And there were things that he expected, and that was to show love, expressing love through hugs, by saying good morning when you get up in the morning, saying good night when you go to bed at night, by talking to one another and doing your part to try to make sure that you're getting along. But because of the love that my mother showed not only me, but all of our siblings, it just makes you feel good when you're out, whether I'm on the job, whether I have friends, whether it is some of my coworkers, whether it's some of my church-going friends that I know, maybe my prayer line sisters, whatever the case may be, I thank God he has given me enough love to share it with everyone that I come in contact with. I go out of my way to show love. I go out of my way to tell individuals I love them, and I go out of my way to express myself through action on loving individuals, because I know that is part of what will allow us an opportunity to be able to change the trajectory of what's happening in the world. I'm not going to just continue to say the United States of America, because it's the whole world that needs to be transformed and learn a little bit more about this word that we're speaking about called love. But in, as I speak about that, Jesse, I guess my question would be back to you. What do you believe is an effective way for married couples or just people in general to operate in love? Because it's more than just married couple nowadays, because so much going on around us. We got to be instrumental in showing love wherever we go, whatever we do, as it relates to just love in general. But what do you believe is an effective way to show and operate in love?
Well, I know, Tammy, many people may not believe this, but most of us today, we are very dysfunctional, as we shared in the past, because of some level of abuse we may have been exposed to in the past. And when we were exposed to that element of abuse, we maybe didn't deal with it. Probably, perhaps we buried it and we let it go. So the first thing couples should do in learning what to expect from each other is they need to spend some time together in counseling. Submit themselves to counseling. The most effective thing you can do for the longevity is to know and understand through a counseling process that is an element of vetting your potential spouse. What is this person all about? You want to know how they think from a spiritual perspective. What kind of mind do they have? I'm not saying you got to go out and perform an IQ test on them. But you should be looking at an emotional intelligence. You should want to know how they deal with people. Do they have a mother and a father? All of this is necessary to give you, I believe, the foundation, your desire to love them. And so effectively for all married couples to operate in love is to have it cleared up, is to know and understand what you yourself may need to be delivered from. You need to know what issues you may have and be willing then to say, let's go together and see if we can be delivered or if we could eradicate whatever these issues may be. And when we are able to do so, just as you read in 1 Corinthians, then love is not easily dismissed. Love is not easily cast aside because you've made a commitment to the vision that's associated with the love, the vision you had till death do you part, to honor and to obey, to do all of those things. It makes you mature in how you then look at it. So you operate in a maturity of love. You're not operating on the feelings. You're not operating when you have a disagreement, when something comes up, when regardless of how passionate you may feel about that particular disagreement, it's not a disagreement to a point to where you are going to say, oh, I don't love you. No, you just disagree on a particular point of view. Now, I don't want to begin to get into a conversation about men and women, but I do want to ask a question, Tammy, is that why do women, or what do women expect specifically then from their spouse in terms of sharing their love and appreciation? Now, think about that. Before you answer, I want to go and take a short pause and play something for a moment. But I want you to think about that. Specifically, what is it that we could say that a woman is looking for? Because a lot of brothers I know, they say they want to be married. They say they want to get married, but they're having a difficult time. So we're going to take a short pause, and then when we come back, the mic will be yours, and we'd like to hear what you have to say on that question. We'll be right back.
I'm sitting here in my bed. I've been thinking about everything that's been said. I realize what's at stake. From the moment I met you, I just ain't been the same. I need you here in my life, and we both know that's a hard thing to find. Girl, I'm a good man, and you're a good woman. There's so much more I wanna discover, baby. If it's love, it lasts a lifetime. Deep in my heart, I know.
It'll last a lifetime. To God be the glory. We thank God for love. And Jesse, when you ask me what do women expect from their spouses in terms of sharing their love and appreciation, I will tell you, we as women, we love to hear from our spouse, you know, when we've done something nice for them, cooking dinner, cleaning the house, you coming in, you seeing a clean house. I mean, I remember you just coming in. I think it was on Saturday I was cleaning, and you came in and you said, Tammy, wow, these floors look so good. And I had been working on those floors all day between dusting and mopping and waxing them, and it was an ordeal for me. And so when you walked in and made the comment, it did make me feel really good that it was all worth my while in making sure I do my part to help make sure our home looks beautiful and welcoming to all of those that enter in. And so when we hear these nice words of edification or appreciation, it does our heart well. And so I encourage all the men, compliment your wives. Let them know you appreciate a meal. Let them know you appreciate when they bring coffee to you. Don't take it for granted. And I know there are some under the sound of my voice that they receive from their spouse, whether it's the male or the female, the husband or the wife, and you're not saying with appreciation, thank you enough. You're not going out of your way of showing appreciation and being supportive. And one of the things that I know personally, Jesse, that most women, including myself, they really do want their spouse to be a lover and a friend. They want them to be able to be someone that they can talk to without being judgmental. They want an opportunity for their spouse to get to know them a little bit better to help express love. I'm reminded, Jesse, that even as you and I went through it, and I'm going to say, for those of you that have not had an opportunity to get Dr. Gary Chapman's the five love languages, I encourage you, get that book. It's a wonderful book even to go through with your spouse, because sometimes you might think, just from the amount of time that you've been with your spouse, that you have it pretty much covered and you know what their love language is. And sometimes you really don't until you take that opportunity to dissect that book. Go through it with each other, with your spouse, and ask them a question. Do you prefer, do you think your love language is the quality of time that we spend together? Do you think that your love language is possibly receiving gifts? Is your love language God's words of affirmation? Is your love language physical touch? Is your love language acts of service? It could be more than one. It could be several of them that are grouped together. But until you learn what the love language is of each other, you really don't know how to deal with your spouse in that area. Because when you tap in to what their love language is and you keep fueling that love language, you keep watering that, you will be amazed on how much you are going to be loved and appreciated by your spouse. And in particular, husbands, let your wives know how much you truly appreciate them by showing them through words and actions on what they do. And then when you do that, you allow your wives to respect and understand Colossians 3:18-19, where it talks about wives submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not bring harsh and do not be harsh with them. And so when you put what I just spoke about in the love language, and when you put it with Colossians 3:18-19, it gives you the ability to understand and know that you will be able to submit to one another because of the actions from each other. But Jesse, I know that I said a lot in there, but it goes back also to the man. How much time and effort should spouses invest to ensure confusion is eliminated in how much you love and respect each other? Because we don't want confusion.
Well, I can tell you, in general, I don't think we should put any time limit or any specific effort to determine how much love and respect to give to each other. It's not something that's really measurable, because again, we come into the relationship with an understanding of longevity. We come into the relationship believing that we have joined with a soul that's going to turn our individualism into a collective whole that we call oneness, where God is going to bless us immeasurably. And regardless of the challenges that the world may bring our way and the things that may come into our past, nothing is going to keep us from realizing the oneness that God ordained from the beginning. So it shouldn't be no time limit, no effort. You're just committed. And once that committed is there, you know and understand that you can rid yourself of those things that keep us from reaching oneness in the first place. For example, Tammy, I would ask you, what are some reasonable and stress-free ways to encourage love and expand the favor of oneness? What can we do? What's reasonable in that regard?
Well, Jesse, there are many things that we can do. So when I think about reasonable and stress-free ways, those are the ways that I know that it's just effortless. We just do. So one of the things would be you have conversation, I hope. And so one of the things that you would do as it relates to spouses to just be able to allow, you know, a stress-free and reasonable way would be to listen just a little bit more, to gain a better understanding when you're in conversation with one another. And I will tell you, communication is key in everything we do. But then on the flip side of it, Jesse, communication can get so twisted and gives us misunderstanding versus understanding of what we really are trying to relay to one another. And so the key thing is listen more. And if you're not understanding exactly what you're hearing, ask questions to get clarification so there's no room for you to have any issues. The other thing I would say, Jesse, would do, one of the main things we should do is support our spouse. Support them in every way we can, whether it be work, whether it be their extracurricular activities. It may be like an example for you. You used to enjoy going and golfing on Saturdays with the men. And I used to love to be able to say goodbye and allow you to go out and have an outlet to do some things outside of our household. And I think it's so important that we're able to be happy that you're able to do some of those things. You always would release me because we used to have it so often where the women would go out and just to dinner, something simple, to a jazz concert. Sometimes we would just get together, go to a play or something. And when we would do it, you would welcome that. And you would send me off with a hug and a kiss and encourage me to have fun. And then by the time I would come back so often, especially early on in our lives when the children were young, I would come back because you knew the type of job that I did in caring for our children. And you would have, you know, 4, 5, 6 dresses just laying out on the bed or outfits of some sort just to show appreciation. Once again, showing love through expressions of going out while I'm away, you're going away, spending time and purchasing items for me. Those things that you just don't forget. You know, other ways that we can also be, you know, reasonable and stress-free and showing and being encouraged to love is to be able, Jesse, to simply be the best us that we can be. I can't expect you to be me. You can't expect me to be you. But you married me for me, and I married you for you. So we have to continue to be that best person that I showed you who I was before you said, will you take my hand in marriage? And before I said, I do. And sometimes we got to go back to those moments to get a better understanding of how we can be more supportive and show more love. Last but not least, Jesse, I will say one thing that we can do as well is show more affection in love. And that, in my opinion, is key. There's nothing wrong with holding hands, nothing wrong with hugging each other walking down the street, nothing wrong at the appropriate time, kissing one another out in public. You're showing expressions of love, and that is key as well. And in saying all of that, Jesse, I know that it is important. There's going to be examples that we will need as well. But through all of that, what do you see as a deterrent to spousal love? Because we know there's some that are out there.
Well, Tammy, it's a very difficult thing to think about people being married that would want to allow things to discourage them, because a deterrent is something designed to discourage you. It's intended for someone to not be able to do something. It's a disincentive. It puts a damper on your relationship. It's an obstacle, a hindrance, an impediment. So anything that you think of that you generally hear from people who are married, when they're saying something that's not positive about their spouse, then that becomes a deterrent to the love. Because unfortunately, we are created in a manner that whatever has the most dominant time in our mindset can in reality become our reality, our purpose, our being. Sometimes we fail to realize that biblical principles apply to the good and the bad. So whatever you meditate on both day and night, it can become a deterrent. It can become successful in your mind and in your marriage. So much so that you begin to be inhibited from showing love to your spouse. That something makes it more difficult because you meditated so long on things that you may not understand with your spouse. And instead of doing as you suggested, having open communication, spouses find themselves looking for more and more ways to blame their spouse for whatever predicament they may think, feel, or believe they are in. But Tammy, I believe we can develop, you know, we can do things to ensure a greater appreciation for love to change when we are led by a concept and by the privilege of being in love. It's a privilege. See, some people never experience, even right here in America, everybody does not get married. Everybody does not have children. Everybody does not. Some people go through life, they say, and they die as virgins. They die as people that have never had an opportunity to experience the oneness that God ordained from the beginning. It's really shameful. But I guess it leads me to a question that, you know, as we begin to look at the time slipping away from us, you know, what can we do to develop and ensure a greater appreciation for the love to change when led by the concept of privilege? I just ask that question again. Is it what can we really do to develop it at a greater level? Because we're at a time, Tammy, where whether we believe it or not, we need to increase the amount of love between spouses so it can be seen by children, be seen by the world, and be seen by everybody. Because we know even in the secular sense, love makes the world go round. So what can we do to develop and ensure this greater appreciation?
Well, Jesse, a few of those things we touched on earlier, and I will say that we just can't get away from it. You just spoke about it again, you know, having a better level of communication with one another, because so many spouses, they just don't have a good communication system set in place. And the sooner they can do that, the sooner they will find themselves expressing what they need in the relationship. How many times have you really sat down with your spouse, whether over dinner or whether at home, just laying in your bed, or whether sitting out on your deck and you might be just sitting out there having a conversation and talking about some of these things that relate back to love that will allow love to just flow naturally? You know, how affectionate are you? Are you really showing affection? Well, if you're not, I'm hoping and praying that you can open up through your communication to let your spouse know, I need just a little bit more affection from you. Are you being generous? Are you being consistent? Are you doing your part to get up in the morning and give hugs, get up in the morning, get a kiss when you leave of a day? Are you extending yourself to give your spouse a hug and a kiss goodbye and encourage them to have a great day? Are you coming into the door of an evening? You might have had a bad day. You don't know what your spouse has had. They might have had a bad day. But when you come together, everything that that you had a bad day concerning outside that door should be left outside that door. When you walk in, this should be your palace. This should be the time that you come together, that you're able to love on each other and respect each other and be able to support one another. So making sure, Jesse, that you're able to give those hugs before and after a long given day. And God forbid if you stop saying, I love you. That is key, so key for us to develop and ensure greater appreciation for the love. And in order for us to change and lead by concept and the privilege of being in love, if we do those things and we know we are in such love with our spouse and we show unconditional love, if we do just a few of those things, they will make our spouse feel wanted, feel needed, feel better, and want to show love as well. So I'm just hoping and I'm praying that we respect how important it is to continue to be the bigger person and show love both to those that we know, God bless us with as a spouse, and those that are outside of our home that we come in contact with on a regular basis. Let us be a part of a change that we can show more love here on this earth. So in doing so, Jesse, I guess my thing back to you would be, if we're able to do that, I know there are some things that you would like to just discuss as it relates to showing the love, as it relates to things that we can do in kind of closing this topic up today. And if you can just come back and share a little bit before we go into our closing prayer on love, that would be wonderful.
I think that part is fairly straightforward and really simple. Those of us who are married, those of us who desire to be married, first of all, respect your spouse and respect what God has said in regards to your spouse. God gave explicit instructions, clear, concise instructions about husbands loving their wives, understanding their wives, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be ended. I mean, the key thing there is we must learn to listen to each other. Don't be unwilling to change if necessary. Because as we love our wives and as wives honor and reverence their husbands, it's something about being able to listen. When we listen, we will learn. We will learn why God said certain things that he said. We'll learn why it's very important to come together in oneness by willing to be sacrificial in those things that we desire. You mentioned about golf years ago and all of that, and I hope one day to get back into that. But God gave me a different purpose at a certain time in my life, a time when I didn't think that purpose would come, but he did. So I had to learn that I had to do things different, because when you listen and you learn, then you will grow. You will mature. This ministry, all about this ministry, is about maturity. It's growing the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, the family to a level of maturity that will surpass what you may have experienced yourself. Not that we'll be able to feel that experience or see that experience, not all of us in every case. But that's the objective, is that we will have an experience in marriage that will be far superior to that which we may have witnessed or may have been around. Doesn't mean that a mother or father that we have been around had anything lacking in their marriage. It's just so that based on the model of listening, learning, and growing, we would then, I believe, set forth the foundation necessary for men and women, husband and wives, for spouses to learn how to love each other. Well, when you have a little disagreement, it ain't about the feelings. Just because now you feel that your feelings are hurt, that gives you justification. It gives you validation. It gives you confirmation then to be unloving. No, that means it's time then to listen, to learn, and to grow. And tell me what I want us to do tonight. As you say, lead us in a prayer and leave us with enough time that we want to go out on a particular song tonight as much as we can get before the 9 o'clock hours. We know Minister Lil Killens will be coming on at 9. But if you could just lead us in prayer, leave us a few moments, then I'll come back and close us out in this song.
Amen, Jesse. I think this was a great topic tonight. All of us need to be able to understand and study to show ourselves approved. And learn a little bit more about this wonderful thing that we call love. And so I'm just grateful and thankful to be a part of this conversation tonight, and hope that all of those that were under the sound of our voice, we know it was a busy day and a holiday, and so many are with family, and we want to encourage that. And every opportunity you get to spend time with family, please do so and continue to create the memories. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you once again for just allowing Jesse and I just to have a simple conversation, Lord God, about oneness is more than just love feelings. And give us the ability to work through, Father, all of the things that we spoke about tonight, that we're able to apply it to our lives. We're able to understand and know what we must do as a spouse, as an individual, as we walk this earth that you blessed us with. Let us operate in more love. And any area where we need your divine intervention, take over, Lord God, and be our mouthpiece and give us an opportunity to do the things that we need to do. You're so awesome. You're so great. You're so merciful. And I just want to say thank you for being love, God, and giving us an opportunity to have an example to live by. Thank you once again for a good night's rest for all of those tonight that will lay their head on their pillow and rise early in the morning to give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you once again for all of those that serve, Father God, in our military that have gone on home to be with you, and our loved ones that are here no more, as we memorize them in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my heart, girl.